Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. It is Wednesday, December 12th, 2007, and I'm Juanita Watson, and I really thank you for tuning in to the program. I've invited author Marion Williams on the show today to talk about her new book, Beyond Adam and Eve, 50 Things You Need to Know Before You Get to Heaven. If you ever wanted to learn more about the Bible but weren't sure where to start, this book could very well be the guidance that you're looking for. It's getting great reviews and would probably make a wonderful gift this upcoming holiday season. So just really happy to have Marion on the program today to talk about her new book. I'd like to tell you a little bit about this author. Marion Williams earned a B.S. in finance from Virginia Tech and an MBA from Columbia University School of Business. She was a finance manager for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals in New York City for several years before moving to Georgia with her husband. For the past 15 years, Marion has been very active in her children's school, holding various volunteer positions, including chairing a book fair and being a library volunteer. She has also been active at their church as a Sunday school teacher as well as in the Vacation Bible School. As a member of the Junior League, Marion was involved with the foster care organization and assisted in the financial aspects of the League's fundraiser, The True Grits Cookbook. As a Girl Scout leader, she is involved in numerous service organizations, including making care packages for soldiers, sewing blankets for foster care babies, and helping out at the Atlanta Food Bank. For the past several years, Marion has volunteered weekly at the Buckhead Christian Ministry, which helps the working poor in the Atlanta area. In her free time, she enjoys reading, writing, traveling, tennis, and entertaining. So, welcome to the program, Marion.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, good. So, you know, I don't really think that there are too many books out there that are quite like Beyond Adam and Eve. How did you get the idea for this book? What was the original thought that came to kind of write this book and get it out there?
Well, so many of the books out there have just so much information that it's often overwhelming. I had originally started putting together just a few Bible scriptures and prayers that I wanted my girls to be aware of. Because even though I've had a strong faith, I've honestly never really read that much in the Bible. I didn't know where to even look in the Bible to find maybe an inspiring passage or some guidance. So when I started taking a Bible study class, I started learning, you know, little bits here and there. And then I just started getting a little more interested in it and tried to learn a bit more. And so many of the books out there are wonderful, but they're as difficult to get through as the Bible. And so one day I was just thinking, what would be a good way to try and accomplish both things here? Learn a little bit, but not be so overwhelmed that you feel like you can never get through it. So was basically the genesis of this thing.
Oh, okay. So is this, I know that I had mentioned that you worked on a cookbook before, but is this your first book?
Yes, this is my first book.
It is. So have you had any other writing experiences?
I have a fiction book in the works, but we have not gotten that one published yet.
Oh, so this is the first published book. Well, how does it feel to have a book out there?
It's very exciting, and it's a little overwhelming at times.
Yeah. How long was the writing process?
Well, I originally started this, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago, and truly it was just going to be a collection of things that I was going to put in a book for my girls,
mm-hmm.
and just so they would have something. But then it just started evolving from one thing to another. I'd started writing this fiction book and taking a few classes, and I was working on that, and for some reason, this thing just started growing more and more, and I think, you know, maybe I should put the fiction book on the side and get this thing put together, because I thought, you know, it's maybe more than my girls might enjoy reading this.
It sounds like it kind of started to write itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It just took over, and one day I was sitting, I mean, it probably sounds a bit odd, but I was helping out at the church answering the phones, and I just sat there and had this thought of going to heaven and seeing St. Peter and him asking me a few simple questions, and I couldn't answer them, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm not the only one who might not know these things.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a little tongue-in-cheek here, but, you know, I thought it's a lot of simple facts that a lot of us probably aren't really aware of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like that idea of you know, going to heaven, meeting Peter, and not knowing, and you kind of do include that a little bit in your introduction in the book, right?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Because I was trying to keep, it's the point is to be have fun and
yeah.
light reading, but to actually learn something in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a little more interactive, you could, you know, question your kids in the car or before you go to bed and just do one question a night and, you know, this is not supposed to be a difficult, overwhelming task.
No.
No. Otherwise, that's why we always get bogged down and never get very far.
That's true. It's not an overwhelming read at all, and you do make it very enjoyable. And I think that's one of the greatest aspects about this book is that it is a really fun and interesting read. So, you know, you talk about, you know, that your children, that you kind of started this idea for your children. What is the age range for this book?
I would say from fifth grade and up.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the scripture passages in the back, I'm sure any age, you know, would obviously be able to read them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel when you're a little older, it might be a little more meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kind of felt in this day and age, you know, sometimes you need a little more backup than just saying, don't do that because I said so, or, you know, don't do that because you know, God that wouldn't like it. I mean, I think if they actually know where to look and can read it, I think it just brings it a little closer to home to them. That,
yes. Well, tell us about this book, Beyond Adam and Eve. How will readers utilize it? I know you break it up into questions, answers. So give listeners today an idea of what this book is all about.
Well, the first section is set up like 20 questions on the Old Testament and about 30 on the New Testament. And so you would read the question on one page, and then you turn the page and there's the answer. So you could basically quiz yourself or quiz a family member and kind of use it as a game sort of thing. So it would be a little more interactive learning rather than just sitting there reading text over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of going to be able to just quiz yourself. Just pick it up maybe a month later and see how much you can remember. And then in the back, there's a lot of scripture passages. I've broken it down into two chapters. One would be short little scriptures that maybe you and your family might want to try to memorize. You know, it's always hard to memorize anything, but these are some shorter ones that, you know, no matter what your age is, it's probably good to know these in the back of your mind. And then another chapter is much longer passages, which the point is that even if you just read this one section daily, it probably would only take 5 to 10 minutes at the most. But at least you'd be reading some scripture, and it's just some beautiful wisdom pieces that I selected. Obviously, there's a lot more in the Bible, but I just wanted to get a few out there so people become a little more acquainted with what actually is in there and would at least have a place to turn to. This is a starting ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you cover the main aspects of the Bible?
What do you mean by the main aspects?
I guess, you know, the more well-known stories or...
Right. I'm trying to focus more on things that we think we know about, but maybe we don't really know as much as we should know.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about the birth of Jesus, but do we know where to find that story in the Bible? Do you know how many times it's even been told in the Bible? Little things like that, when you start thinking about it, you're like, oh my goodness, where is that story? You know, could you find it? And it just comes back to there you are, the gates of heaven, and St. Peter goes, oh, who does tell us about the story of Jesus? Can you tell?
Mm-hmm. I love that visual.
I know that one. I know it was in a manger, but what book was that from?
Right.
You know, and that's the point. I'm not trying to pick out unusual, really bizarre stories that, you know, it's mentioned once. And I'm trying to do more of the big picture and give everything a little bit of a twist.
So give us an example of you just did about, you know, that you did, what you just mentioned about Jesus, but give us a few other examples of some of the questions that people would find, a few of these 50 things you need to know.
Let's see. Well, one of them, maybe from the Old Testament, would be who came first, Moses, Abraham, or Noah? And sometimes, you know, we all kind of know who those guys are. Probably can mention one thing about each of them, but do you know what the time frame is? Who actually was first? Who was last? Where do they take place? And, you know, sometimes when you sit there and you start thinking about it, you're kind of like, oh, golly, who was first?
Yeah.
You know, it's something very simple, but when you start thinking about it, you know, it's just meant to give you a little push to just think about what you've learned. And do you really know what you think you know?
Do you think
another one was about like Noah's Ark? You know, how big is the Ark?
That's a good question.
You know, and I mean, in my mind, I always just pictured a tugboat, and always wondered, you know, how would you get all those animals on there?
Right.
But I guess somehow he squished them all in, and then actually, it turns out in the Bible, there's specific directions.
Is that right?
And it's huge. And I found this out just, I guess it was 2 years ago, I was teaching Sunday school class, and we were going over the story of Noah, and I brought in a ruler, and the kids and I went outside, and we measured our church. And we belonged to a huge church, and it turned out the ark was bigger than the church.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was just kind of a fun thing, you know, kind of put in perspective. Well, I guess that's how all those animals got on there. It's a pretty darn big boat.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's just simple things here that people might not be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing complicated, just
trying
to reinforce information and to pick out things that you might not be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this book will still be interesting to people who are very well-versed with the Bible?
Well, I would hope so. I would think people who are well-versed might be able to pat themselves on the back when they
answer
all
the questions
correctly.
Yeah.
You know, because probably someone who does know everything might not learn very much from that section. There's a few fun facts that, you know, possibly I could stump a few people on. But even then, if you're really well-versed. But I would hope that they would enjoy the chapters in the back, being able to read the different scripture passages.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole chapter on prayer.
Yes.
That I've collected over the years that I just felt were very meaningful. So even if you knew everything, I would think you could get something out of those chapters. Plus, you might think, hey, this is a great way to get my friend who doesn't know a thing interested in what they should know.
Yes, that's a great point. Don't you also have some sort of, at the back, like a resources or something like that, a section?
In the back, yes, there's some resources that will give you more information on some of the things that are in there. For instance, I talk about a Jesse tree, which is a modern, like, Advent Day sort of celebration,
mm-hmm.
and where you can go to make your own Jesse tree.
Oh.
I've got some information on that. And there's another thing in there about the Passover supper, and you can get more information on how to do a Passover meal.
Mm.
And then also in the back, there are some additional quizzes if you'd like to, you know, test yourself again.
That's great.
A slightly different way, a different arrangement of the questions.
It's such an interactive book. I mean, there could be so many applications. Was that kind of your intention, that this could be used, you know, just one person sitting and reading, to families, to actually being used in maybe a church study group? Or, I mean, what were your thoughts on how it was going to be used?
Originally, it was just, I was just thinking families and, you know, working within a family sort of thing, having fun teaching your children and making sure your children knew all this stuff, you know, plus yourself. And then the more, you know, as I kept expanding it, I thought, well, this would really make a great Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm.
So I have written a curriculum which supplements the book,
mm-hmm.
so that someone, if they wanted to go in and teach a class to, you know, 15 students or 15 adults and their children or just adults, it's all laid out, you know, with a format, how you could start the class, and give some games, and just makes it a much more interactive.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
It could happen as a class without having to make up your own lesson plan.
Mm-hmm.
In other words.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you an author looking for another way to make your book available to your reading audience? If so, how about entering the revolutionary world of ebooks for Amazon Kindle? Amazon recently launched their new ebook reader that is now sweeping the masses by providing not only the ebook reader limitless possibilities, but it also now provides the opportunity for all authors to have their book available in the ebook format. Let ReaderViews help you get your book on Amazon in just a few easy steps. You provide us the information and we'll upload it for you. At the same time, we will optimize your ebook by ensuring that your book is compatible and looks great on the new Kindle Reader. For more information, please go to ReaderViews.com and click on the Services for Authors in the top menu bar. There you will see the services we provide, as well as the link for your Kindle ebook production. The success of your book is our greatest interest. Go to ReaderViews.com today.
And now back to Inside Scoop Live with your host, Juanita Watson.
Now, with some of the groups that you've worked with, did you use this curriculum? Is that how you've kind of fine-tuned the information in it?
Actually, I fine-tuned it more just on my experience with teaching Sunday school classes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've only practiced it on a very informal basis.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping this, because we just have the book, we just had the book published, so we just finally had it in our hand in November.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping this winter we're going to actually get to use it.
Yes. I mean, this is all relatively new. Your book just came out last month, and, I mean, this is December, so.
Right.
Who knows? Right. Who knows where it's going to go? So, with this curriculum, is that available on your website? Is it purchased alongside your book in bookstores or online booksellers?
Yes, you can get it right online, right on Amazon. It's listed right underneath the softback.
Oh, right underneath the book, Beyond Adam
right.
and Eve. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it should come right up as a curriculum, as the curriculum guide
mm-hmm.
underneath it. So it's broken into an 8-week class.
Okay.
And each class would start off, you know, with an opening song if people are so inclined to sing, a prayer, a Bible search. Then you do a quick review of what went on the week before, and then you go over a few questions for that week
mm-hmm.
and end with a prayer. But then I've added, you know, there's some things I've added in here so mm-hmm. that it would work a lot better in a classroom situation.
That's such a great idea to have a companion book like that. What is the time dedication that you suggest for this curriculum, for the class?
The 8 weeks, probably 40 minutes a class.
Okay.
And I have some additional games in the back, so if for some reason the time flies by and you still have 20 minutes before the class is over.
Because mm-hmm.
as a Sunday school teacher, I know that that often happens. There's some additional games in there
mm-hmm.
to help fill up the time.
Oh, great.
You know, so. And there's just, like, one of the questions was, like, name the 12 disciples. Well, I mean, that's a hard question to ever remember all 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things for a Sunday school suggestion was to come up with an anagram so you could be able to remember the different names
mm-hmm.
in a sentence. So that's kind of what prompts you, just as if you're back in your college days trying to remember a long series of words.
Mm-hmm. So. That's great. You know, I love the idea that you bring a really enjoyable aspect to studying the Bible in this book and Beyond Adam and Eve. Reviewers are finding this as well. And, you know, you're talking about using the book for younger kids or for families. But I know, you know, reviewers, adults that know about the Bible are just really enamored with this book as well. I mean, it really is a fun, kind of entertaining way to learn more about the Bible. And I was really interested in and how important you feel it is to make studying the Bible and the complexities of the Bible a fun experience.
Well, it's probably just my personal outlook on things that you really need to be having fun in order for the learning process to stick with you. And there's so much information in the Bible that it's just a difficult process
mm-hmm.
to be able to delve into it. And I hate to say it, but, you know, a lot of us, it's just so little time these days to really do the things we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you've got the fun factor added, it just helps, I think, to be able to accomplish these things that we really should know and that we should make time for.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you start having fun doing something, you'll be more inclined to make the time to learn some more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically how I was looking at it. It just seems that the more you get exposed to things out in the world, the more you really need to know more about the Bible
mm-hmm.
to have a better appreciation of, you know, art, of language, of understanding other people around you, and, you know, just how to carry on your daily life in a better way. So you're
mm-hmm.
a better person, and everyone you know, or especially your children that you're trying to raise, you know, will become better people, and that's what we're all here for.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was interested, and you kind of touched on that with, you know, maybe learning about the arts and how learning about the Bible can kind of, you know, really help to understand art and various aspects of history. So, you know, I was interested in knowing from you that even if someone is not a Christian, and what value you feel the Bible would have for the reader and how your book would benefit a non-Christian?
Well, probably if the first book, or this one,
mm-hmm.
if you're a non-Christian, probably reading certain aspects of it, like the part where I touch on Proverbs and the scripture passages, I would think would help anyone regardless of their religious beliefs. On the sequel that I'm working on, because it turns out there probably are more than 50 things we should know,
yeah.
Which I learned as I was going through this, that that one hopefully would be even, it has a broader context, and someone who's not a Christian would probably even enjoy that one more, because I do kind of delve into more of the things that have come up where the Bible is had influences on pieces of art.
Okay.
And things in literature, things that, you know, if you don't know these Bible stories, these things just don't mean anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to believe in something to just understand things better, and you just get a better meaning out of it.
Mm. So with the first book, do you think that that book will strengthen people's faith?
I would hope so. I think just reading the scripture passages in the back, regardless of the 50 questions, should help inspire people and realize that there's just so much in the book that really we should all be more aware of. I'm hoping that people will enjoy quizzing themselves and learning more through the first 50 questions. But the scripture passages are really, I would think, be meaningful regardless of one's knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is the next book, the sequel, is it another 50?
I have to admit, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying to keep it to 50, because if you get more than 50 items at one time, you know, it's just too hard to comprehend and remember. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard just remembering 50 things.
Yes.
You know, this isn't the type of book you read once and put on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that, you know, it's more the type of book, you know, you keep on your nightstand or you know where it is and maybe you pick it up, you know, once a week or... It would be great if you picked it up nightly, but that's kind of, you know, that's a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's a book that you can just pick up and read at any point. You know, it's not a cover to cover. You can just,
right,
any page.
Just refresh your memory. And the chapters with the scripture and the prayers, I mean, they could be read in 10 to 15 minutes. And, you know, that usually should be doable for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, you're
it's a start. This book is supposed to be a starting point.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end point.
Not the end all. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this might become a book series for you, or are you going to stop at just two?
Well, I've got a third one that we're hoping to get going.
Uh-huh.
That one's going to take a little more research, but I have a lot of friends from different religions, and I was trying to put together 50 things that Christians should know about the other religions.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And not just... you know, even the religions within Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many different, you know, there's a lot of difference between Catholics and Episcopalians and Methodists, you know, plus in, you know, all our Jewish traditions and Muslim traditions and things that we really should all be aware of. Because the more we know, the more we can understand each other, and we're not all that different underneath it all.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting how your original idea for the first book is kind of branching off into all these different areas?
Right, and the only thing I'm consistent with is the 50, because it seems to be just seems to me like a doable number. It's not overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it seems like we're all so overwhelmed these days with, you know, in all aspects of our life.
Yes, isn't that the truth?
Which is sad. I don't know why we are, you know, but...
Yeah.
That's just the way it seems to be.
Mm-hmm. The world we're living in today. So, Marian, how has studying the Bible changed your life or enhanced your life?
Well, it's helped me have a place to go or to know what I should be looking for when, you know, when you're having difficult moments in your life and sometimes you're just at a loss and you're not sure, oh, gosh, what should I do? Now at least I have the passages that I can go back and read.
Mm.
And it's just kind of, gives you a sense of peace at times. It doesn't solve your problems right off. You know, it's not, you know, like the magic ball or anything, but it does give you a sense of, okay, this will be okay. Put it in someone else's hands.
Mm-hmm.
I should, you know, stop worrying about it. And, you know, do what you can. You have to help yourself, but God is there to help push you along.
Mm. Do you think that a lot of Christians have a strong faith in God but don't have that... the knowledge that comes directly from the Bible or passages or stories in the Bible, they don't have that understanding to kind of back it up?
I hate to admit this, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of us, especially, I probably should not say Episcopalians and Lutherans, but since that's what I was brought up. I mean, a lot of us have a strong faith, but we honestly, it's not part of our tradition to actually open up the book all that often.
Mm.
Now, we hear it in church services. But I have a lot of Baptist friends, and, I mean, they know everything. I've got a lot of Jewish friends. They know tons of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's embarrassing.
Mm.
You know, it really is. But a lot of us, you know, it's sad. I don't know why we don't know these things, but that's what my goal was, to try and learn some of this stuff just so we would have, you know, some sort of support that, you know, you don't just, it's good to just believe and to just have faith, because that's basically what I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's a little more fulfilling if you know more about it.
Yes, if you have the backup
right on
it. Well, I was wondering if that was your ultimate goal and what your hope for readers would be for this book.
Right, to give them some backup. And to actually show them, you know, a few passages that are a great place to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, I mean, you look at that Bible and someone says, oh, well, you know, go read the Bible, and you don't know where to go.
Right.
You know, well, you opened it up and you've opened up on some passage that's, you know, kind of boring or complicated. That's not going to help you.
Yes, that's so true.
Mm-hmm. So if you at least have some ideas to where to start to look,
mm-hmm.
you become more interested, and maybe you'll go back and read the rest of the book, or, you know, not the whole book at one time, but, I mean, if you read one passage from Philippians and you really enjoy it, maybe the next day you'll go back and read another chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you've read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And so this book really is a little different. It's a bit of a different twist than a lot of the, say, companion or primer books out there for, you know, getting involved with the Bible and the Scripture.
Right. For instance, with each of the 50 questions, after you read the answer, I have the actual Bible verse listed.
That's great.
So that hopefully the goal would be, you know, you would then open your own Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you could read the story yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might, you know, obviously you'd get even more information if you're reading the full answer right out of the Bible. But that was the goal, to try and get people to become more interested in opening up their Bible instead of just learning it, you know, from the outside.
Mm-hmm. So our time is kind of coming to an end here, and I wanted to kind of dangle something in front of listeners today, and so people could be drawn to your book, and I'd like you to leave listeners with a question that typically stumps people.
Let's think. One that people who really know the Bible, this is not going to stump them at all, but for some of us, we were never even aware of it. There's something called the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
And one of the questions is, can you name the fruits of the Spirit? And how can you get them? How can you receive the fruits of the Spirit?
Mm.
So, and it's a beautiful answer. But, you know, you would think we would all know about the fruits of the Spirit, but hopefully, do you know about them?
I don't.
You don't? I didn't either.
Sounds beautiful, though.
Yeah, it really is. It's very lovely.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do a little research. That's definitely piqued my curiosity. That's great. Marian, what's your website?
My website is called 50 Things and Beyond, and you can get information there on the book, as well as it's basically a compilation of 50 to-do lists. It's completely different tact than the Bible books,
mm-hmm.
but it's 50 to-do lists that I've developed that hopefully will help you free up some time, and you'll have more time to read my books and learn about the Bible and spend more time with your family and friends.
Oh, great. Well, you're just a very busy woman.
Well, I'm being consistent with the number 50.
That's great. Well, we certainly direct readers to your website to check out your to-do list. That sounds very, very interesting. You know, just in closing here, I want to offer you the last little bit of time to share any final thoughts that you'd like to pass on to your readers today.
Well, I'm hoping that people will enjoy this book, not only for themselves to learn more about the Bible, but they'll realize that this is a good way to pass on some information and tradition to our children. And to just be able to take time to sit down and learn a little bit more about the Bible and about God. And hopefully they'll find, you know, some peace and quiet in everyone's busy scheduled days and just become better people for it.
Mm. Thanks so much for your time today, Marian. It's been great talking with you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. Best to you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, there you go. It's been Marian Williams talking about her new book, Beyond Adam and Eve, 50 Things You Need to Know Before You Get to Heaven. There is an additional companion curriculum that you should really check out. It's a wonderful addition to this set. So her website, once again, is 50thingsandbeyond.com. So I want to thank you so much for listening to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.